Choice and Control, a podcast celebrating people with disability. In this season, we're talking about access, inclusion, and the National Disability Insurance Scheme. This podcast series is brought to you by Carers Queensland, NDIS local area coordination partner in the community.
G'day, I'm Jodie van der Wettering. Today we're talking to some Queenslanders with spina bifida. Later this episode, we'll meet Rainey, who's helped make an important service more accessible for Central Queensland kids, and she's taking on the big boys in her new basketball wheelchair. But first, we're chatting with Jaden, David and George. They're all peer mentors with Spina Bifida Hydrocephalus Queensland. Their job is to support others going through life and the workplace. So Jaden, how do you get into that line of work?
I became a peer mentor because I was ringing SBH regularly, put it bluntly, bugging them for anything. I was willing to do volunteer or if I could get a job. Like, I just wanted to be a part of the organisation, like from the working point of view.
And what was your employment history like before coming in here?
I'd only had one paid job many years ago. So like 6 years ago, I think it was. I was a receptionist for 10 years, but only paid for 1 year.
And how about you, David? How did you come to be involved in the peer mentoring program?
I applied for the job. I was given a heads up by the social worker there, Sonia, that there was a project coming up and I should look into it, apply for it. And I got it.
As well as the peer mentoring, what else are you doing with yourself, David?
What else am I doing? I've been an avid gardener. Work-wise, I'm a group convener, voluntary for our Queenslanders with Disability Network. And yeah, that's a once a month gathering that I host.
And how about you, George? How did you come to be involved in peer mentoring?
Well, mate, my story goes back quite a few years. I've been part of SBH for many, many years. I've been on the board of directors for the association. I've been a long-time member, long-time supporter. But David and Jaden, I found out about it through talking to one of the social workers, one of the OTs, that said, we've got a mentoring role coming up. And I also applied for it. But I also used to run my own little business called Living on Wheels, which was mentoring and, you know, lifestyle and programs for kids with disabilities. So that's how I became into the mentoring role, is wanting to give back to the community and the association that helped me along the way, you know.
What does the role involve as a peer mentor?
Lots. So it involves having good communication skills, knowledge, how to interact with other people and help them through their obstacles, and we did resume writing and cover letter writing and interview skills. I personally learned lots of computer skills because when I first started, I did not have very good computer skill knowledge.
I would say it's developing the mentoree relationship and taking a journey with a mentoree where they can discover what employment goals are achievable for them and really give them a chance to look at the details and decide on what their future jobs might look like.
But also I think it's on a different level too. It's on a personal level. Mm. You know, it's supporting them in a way that they can achieve things if they work towards things, setting goals, daily goals or weekly goals or monthly goals, or you know, anything that would motivate them to achieve what they want out of life instead of just thinking that all they do is sit at home. So it's helping motivate them to, you know, be a part of the community, be a part of their family, be a part of, you know, whatever's happening in the world and not just letting the world go by.
And how important is that mentor-mentee relationship with somebody who's has that same experience of the world and has the same challenges?
It's very important because leaning back to when I was trying to get through life at the same time, I've had a mentor now since I was 14, but he's been my sporting mentor. And that sporting mentor has, you know, followed me throughout my life and, you know, it's helped me throughout, even though I've been sporting, my sporting career has helped me throughout my life to be able to, you know, communicate with people, to be out there with the community, not to be sitting at home all the time and wondering, you know, what's happening with everybody else and, you know, why am I sitting here? Why am I not outside doing things with people? So it's very important that, you know, people with a disability have that involvement, inclusion within the community to be able to, you know, fulfill their life and not sit at home and let it all go by.
Is it rewarding? Are you seeing some wins?
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely. One of my participants came in and she had a very, I'm going to use the word negative, I'm sorry if that's not the right word, but negative opinion of herself. And she was like, I can't do this and I can't do that. And I was like, well, you can. You just maybe can do it differently to some other people. Like, not everyone's going to do it the same way. And she just didn't have a lot of confidence. So I kind of showed her that she was capable and she could do things. And she was, I think they call it legally blind. And she left our course touch typing. And I thought that was just amazing because here's me who can see and I can't touch type. So, like, I was so proud and so excited for her. And, like, it's those things that I'm sure some people take for granted and, like, it may seem small, but it's not. It's such an empowering, wonderful thing. And just having those things happen, it's amazing.
And it does rub off. It does when they do succeed, it does rub off and it does make you feel like you've been able to help someone. Even if you can help just one person, it's been worthwhile. And so, yeah, this mentoring program and working with SPH is everything I've ever wanted out of my working career.
I found it's a journey of awareness raising about how to go about work and how to organise yourself for work. I've had seen people that I've mentored have mentored in three different relationships with my assistants actually figure it out for themselves what they need to do to actually be at a desk and what they need to do to be organised for a day, which can be a significant challenge for lots of people with fundamental hydrocephalus.
And if you've come from a place under the old system where there were low expectations, where it was assumed you weren't going to be able to have a job or be independent, and so you've never been given an opportunity to demonstrate what you can do.
Hmm. It's all about inclusion. That it's community based. It's an employer's interpreting what, you know, what you can do. You know, given the opportunity, everyone can do their best or above that, but they've got to be given that opportunity to do that. If they're not given the opportunity, they won't be able to do it. And yeah. I think that's where we come in, is that we've given the, you know, we've been able to help our community or our participants have that opportunity to come in and learn how to do things in the office, then hopefully, you know, go out into the real world and be able to be a part of the community, be a part of a business, be a part of, you know, whatever they want to be a part of.
One of the things that I've seen is a growth in motivation. Once people make a start on something, and very often we've had a little bit of a challenge in how do we get people to start things? And we've all had a way of going about it. And what I've noticed is once they start, because I've said, you know, start anywhere, you know, and once they start and get that sense of achievement rolling.
Just getting those little runs on the board to get you started.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And just for an example, I had a 18-year-old who had never worked before, had never been given the opportunity to work, and he's been out of school probably since last year. And because of one thing after another, and then COVID came in, he hasn't been able to have that opportunity to learn what to do about, you know, resumes, cover letters, how to put himself out there, what to do when they get contacted. You know, it's a big learning curve for someone like an 18-year-old. Probably a learning curve for a lot of people. But having someone who's just come out of school, never had to worry about writing a resume, never had to worry about cover letters, never had to worry about looking for work, and they're having to look for work, I think that's where we have been able to help this person And now, hopefully, by the end of this year, they will have a job. You know, maybe their first one. It doesn't really matter where it is. They just want a job.
One of the mentorees I've had has actually gone on to TAFE College. He decided during the length of the course I was with him, he wanted to become a copywriter. And he's gone on to TAFE College. But he's also joined like a TAFE College program that's about employment. So what we're providing, in my view, is the first step up that then leads on to bigger things. And that's really, I think that's the really right role of what we're doing in the project.
Let's move back and take a broader view. In the team's experience, is society getting better at accepting, including, and respecting people with disability?
I think it's trying. It's a really hard question to answer because, like, in some aspects, yeah. Like, I've seen heaps of improvements, like having things down at the beaches now so we can wheel in and, you know, go for a swim. I just last week went to my favourite shop, Overflow, who for years has not been wheelchair friendly. Like, they have their stuff everywhere. You can't get through the aisles. I don't even know how people walk through them. And then I went last week because I haven't been in there in years and they're completely wheelchair friendly now. And I'm like, what made you do this? And like, you nagged us every time you came in. I was like, I'll take it. Thank you. So like, yes, people are trying, there are improvements, but there's also a really long way to go. Like, there's also a long list of places that just aren't ready for us yet, which is sad. Time's changing. You know, we've been around for a while. I feel like they should be up to date, but I guess they'll get there.
Yeah, with the inclusion and the accessibility, you know, they have come a long way. All three levels of government have come a long way, but I think there's a long way still to go. Private enterprise has got to, you know, is trying to catch up. Everyone's trying to catch up. Everyone's trying to do the right thing. But we still have a little way to go to make sure that everything is, you know, accessible and everyone's included. So, yeah, we've got to have that conversation. You know, we've got to start that conversation as peer mentors, and I think it's in our role to start that. It just needs to be talked about more often. And I think once we've talked about it more often, it's going to get out there and get out there and get out there, and it's going to, and it'll work.
Mm.
I think if you've got the right attitude and you've got the right communication and the openness to let the inclusion work, then that's what it's all about. But if they haven't got the right attitude, it's going to take a bit longer to get things done.
Agreed.
I think by our example, our mentorees are seeing how to build those relationships in the workplace where they can actually work effectively and contribute to teams. Simple things like, how do I work around the photocopier and make sure somebody else gets, you know, photocopying done in the way they need it done, and the skills of listening and so forth. That's the real stuff that we're doing around inclusion in a workplace setting.
Rainey is a young Rockhampton resident who also has spina bifida. She inspired Life Education to modify their iconic van that travels around doing school visits to make sure all children can access Harold the Talking Giraffe. I caught up with Rainey and her mum Amber to find out how it all happened.
I had to crawl up the stairs and it was very hard and it took a lot of effort, but it wasn't that many stairs. And it was really hard, but now I don't have to do that. We got a lift that I could go on to with my chair, and then I could just get into the Life Education van in my wheelchair.
So what was involved in letting Life Ed know there was a problem and getting it fixed?
Actually, in this instance, I didn't have to do a thing, which is unusual because we feel like sometimes you got to fight your whole way through life to get the same opportunities as everyone else. Whereas in this instance, Liz, the educator of Life Education Van, saw there was a problem, and she actually took it on herself to ask permission to film Rainey crawling up the stairs and then use that as part of the grant application, and wrote a great grant, was successful, and it all got installed and done. So that was wonderful from a parent's point of view, not having to do all that work because, man, we've got enough to do already, you know, with disabilities and stuff. We're already overloaded. So for her to do that and then to be successful and this problem to be solved without, any input from me at all was amazing. So it's a great outcome for everybody, and not just Rainey, but all the kids with disabilities who are going to use that life education van, who have the right to the same fun, and that learning with that in that life education van is different to what they learn in school, and they deserve to have that too. So, yeah, no, it's great.
Is there a lot of fighting involved in being a parent of kids with additional needs?
Look, there is. I've had a few battles I've had to go through, like just getting footpath access, or even one issue somewhere where they wash bins out over a path, and so Rainey's wheelchair's got to go through that dirty water, and then she's wet and dirty all day. And I'm like, well, that's not happening. To dodge that, we had to go the long way and go up a hill and around the long path to have the same access as all the other kids. And it's taken me a few years to get some action on it. And sometimes you don't want to have a fight. You've just got too many other things to deal with. But, look, it's happened. It took a few tears, actually, was how I got it done in the end. But, look, we got it done. And, you know, all the medical stuff we've got to deal with, sometimes you're just not listened to and you have to really put your foot down. So, yes, there is a bit of fighting involved, standing up for yourself, really.
Does that get easier with practice?
I don't know if it does, actually. Some people think you're doing it for attention or... for no, you know, to be known, but really we just want to have a normal life too, you know. So I think a lot of it's to do with attitude and worrying about what people think about you, but sometimes you got to go, you know what, stuff it, this ain't good enough and I'm going to do something about it. So, you know, yeah.
And when you do get those wins like the Life Ed van, like getting decent footpath access, it makes all the fighting and the angst worth it?
Yeah, you can just get on with it. You know, just like everybody else is allowed to just get on with it. You know, it's just, well, that's all we want, is just a bit of ease in life to do the things that we need to do. And, yeah, it just makes everything a lot easier and happier and appreciated, really. We're a lot more grateful, I think, as a community, just in general, grateful for being alive and having a good life, because you have that crappy stuff that you've got to deal with, and it makes the good stuff so much more better. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And since you've come over to using the NDIS, what sort of support has that provided for yourselves?
Well, look, to be honest, paperwork-wise, oh, my life is so much better. Someone else does the paperwork. And all the funding comes from the one place, so you're not chasing it from 10 different places. That's awesome, because, as I said, we've got enough to do already. We've got all these extra care needs. So that's great, is to have the plan managers there to sort it, and they know what they're doing. I don't need to put the research in to know how to do those things. So that's great. We know we're sorted, and we don't have to worry about if we're going to have everything we need to get through. Stress is a big deal in this lifestyle. So anything that can be done to reduce that stress in the long term, it's all about mental health stuff too. I mean, yeah, no, I really do appreciate, particularly all that paperwork and stuff, is just taken care of, the bills are sorted and we've got what we need. I mean, isn't that what everyone wants, you know, in life? So, yeah, no, it's a big deal and it's really appreciated. The other thing is equipment. If we need it, we get the assessments done, we get the equipment, and it's just smooth sailing. So in that way, I mean, we've got our helpers at Carers Queensland, and we just do the assessments with them. They sort it, they do their side of the paperwork, done, you know, and it's just so much easier. So we've got that trike for Rainey that we get out and about with. We've got a basketball wheelchair on the way, which is awesome, because Rainey loves basketball wheelchair and she goes there every week. And we've almost got the chair here. It should only be a couple of weeks away, and it's going to be pink and aqua, I think.
Well, that sounds fantastic. I think I had a pair of netball shoes in a similar colour scheme when I was about Rainey's age.
There you
go. Highly approve. Hey, Rainey, could you tell us a little bit about wheelchair basketball?
It's really fun, and I have a lot of teammates, and they're all older than me, and I'm the youngest one, and they help me with things that I don't know if I need help with it, and I have once knocked over one of my teammates in their chair, and I've only done it once. It was really funny because all of my teammates were cheering and clapping.
And what sort of difference will having that wheelchair make?
It'll be better, because then I'll get to have my own and I won't have to borrow any.
So, Amber, are you about to take on another hat as the sports mum?
No, mate. I'm not sporty at all. No, that's Rainey's dad's allocation there. So he's quite good with sport and he's actually interested in it. So I think he actually joins in sometimes when they go to basketball as well. But to have Rainey's own chair, it will actually fit her, because the ones we have to borrow, they're old chairs, they're other people's, they were measured for those people. And we kind of try and strap Rainey in, and it's not a great fit. We don't want to cause further physical issues. We've got mm-hmm. enough. So to have a wheelchair that's actually built for her, that will be great.
And because she mentioned she was the youngest, I'm also guessing she's probably the physically smallest of the players.
Yes,
too.
Exactly. So she's doing well. She gets out there with all these guys and a couple of young girls there too. But they get out there and rouse about, and they all got smiles on their face, loving it. It's a really good, fun sport to watch, actually. I enjoy it. Yeah.
So as peer mentors, whose own lived experience is going to be really relevant for kids like Rainey, what advice do our team of mentors have for the next generation?
Everyone's different. Everyone has a different way of communicating. Everyone has a different way of thinking. And at that age, it was hard because you were seen but never heard. Or you weren't seen, you were never heard as well. Good on her for speaking out. If she speaks out, that's great. Speak out. But if it's not helping, contact us so we can support and help her. Get other support around her. Get family involved. Get friends involved. Talk to your local government.
Yeah, make as many connections as you can. You're not actually alone and you're not different. You sit with your peers. Your friends are also your allies in getting access, your ally, and you will live within your friendships and your family going right forward. So sit there.
Just thinking about that, that raised a really important thing. How important is it, both as mentors and just as colleagues and as humans existing in the world, how important is that feeling that somebody else has got your back?
Oh, it's everything. It is very important. Like, I can't imagine going out into the world and not having someone there beside me, essentially, like metaphorically or literally, to support me in whatever I'm trying to achieve. I think it's very, very vital, because it's scary. You know, sometimes it can be very scary, and knowing you have that person's support is, it's everything.
Thanks for joining us at Choice and Control, a Carers Queensland podcast. For more information about Carers Queensland, the National Disability Insurance Scheme, or the local area coordination program, please contact us online at carersqld.com.au. Or you can catch up with us on Facebook, search for Carers Queensland NDIS. This podcast is a place for people with disability to share experiences, stories, and achievements. If you have a story you think we should know about, please contact us through the Carers Queensland Inquiries line at 1300 999 636 or email cq.inquiries@ndis.gov.au. Until next time, thanks for listening.